The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 151. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Stuff looks a little bit different, a little bit different than the last show we were on.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brian Manjoma.
Apparently, I sound like a post-Drake.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, everybody?
And Adam Vale.
You the do.
Yeah, sucker free Sunday, right, Adam? Sucker free Sunday. All right, so we're back. Actually, yeah, we're back on YouTube as always and throwing questions for the first time on Twitch with these nice little overlays here, man. It's crazy, you know?
Yeah, we did it again. We made each, so for each show now, the overlays changed a little bit. So, you know, this one is now Throw Down Your Questions themed. And of course, we have our normal Throwdown one, which is awesome.
Yeah. I just want to quickly apologize for everyone who was trying to watch our Destiny stream tomorrow. I don't know what the fuck happened. Shit was fucked up. It was the exact same settings I've used on every single other stream. No problems. That one was giving us issues. So hopefully the next time we do it, which will be tomorrow night, that won't happen, you know? He's fucked up, Mr. Davis.
It stinks. I mean, I was in it for and it was just like, you know, dropping and dropping.
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully it won't happen. So anyway, without further ado, man, let's get to some questions. All right, leading us off here, the new Final Stage boss is G Megaforce 123. So his first question is, do you think we will ever reach ultra-realistic graphics? Do you care? By ultra-realistic, I mean lifelike, to the point where you can tell a difference between you can't tell the difference between a character and a real person, where games can simulate things as if they were real. Would you want that? Would games still be fun to play if they were too realistic? Take it away.
For me, I think that we will reach a point when it starts looking, I mean, because there's already even CGI that people can't tell is, and this is not the in-your-face sort of CGI. This is like the, like, okay, we decided to replace this person for X amount of shots. Like, there's a bunch of, like, hidden, like if you watch the film The Wolverine, there are a lot of, like, hidden CG shots where they just literally replace Wolverine, like the stunt double's head with a CG head, and it looks as good as the, you know, it looks like Hugh Jackman is in there driving a car or jumping across a room. So I think there is a point that it will reach that, but I feel like I'm hoping that is not the end level of it. I feel like that even to this day, people think that good graphics for a game means ultra realism. And to be honest, I think that video games should vary, just like there are pieces of artwork that are in different styles. So I think it's cool that, you know, things would get nice and realistic, but I also think that there should also still be room to have incredibly stylized games, which we're seeing a lot nowadays, which is great. So that's my answer.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to second that. It's like, yeah, realistic games are nice and all looking, but I would prefer a stylized game over a realistic game any other week. I've said this before a long time ago. I'm like, if you have every game looking realistic, every game is going to look exactly the same. You won't be able to tell one game from the other. That's boring, you know. I'd rather have a game with, like, you know, stylized graphics. That's not to say I don't want realistic games. Yeah, please put them out there, but I don't want those to just be the only thing. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, yeah. It's got to be a nice balance of both of them, you know? All right, jump in, guys.
So I can put it to you this way.
Yeah.
Would you ever want anime to disappear and be replaced by live-action anime?
You already know the answer to that. Hell no. Death Note.
Oh, speaking of anime, there were this is a little slightly related. Apparently, the director of the Full Metal Alchemist animated series said that that new movie, that the Full Metal Alchemist animated movie, I mean live action movie, looks like shit. He said, I don't know why they hired a bunch of Japanese actors to be in this.
But that's a whole other thing. But yeah, go ahead, bro, with your analogy with anime.
Oh, just sometimes you want to see definitely stylized things. And I was just kind of piggybacking off your comment. One of the prettier games that I've played lately that's actually kind of stuck with me is Absolver. And like, I say this as I've been pumping a lot of time into Destiny, like, yeah, Destiny's pretty and it's cool. But there's, you know, the minimalist graphics and kind of painted textures in Absolver, like, I find myself kind of like cresting a rise and be like, well, it's really pretty. While I bring that up, last show I had bitched about how they had pretty much ruined their game with a bunch of bullshit patching, and I was actually pretty pissed at them, couldn't recommend the game anymore.
Yeah, Brett, I know where you're going, but let's stick to the actual answer here.
I'll come back there.
Yeah, yeah, please come back to that, though. I want you to come back to that.
Basically, what I was saying is, you know, Warcraft graphics, or you know, Pixar-y graphics, or painted cell shaded graphics, like, mm-hmm. there's always going to be need for variety, because yes, if everything looks super realistic, it looks super realistic and everything looks the same. But then there's another point that I wanted to make, that you're going to kind of hit the uncanny valley. Like, when you say looks super realistic, like, it'll be everything looks super realistic until you do something, until somebody moves a certain way, or until an animation loops a certain way, or the wind doesn't blow through the hair the right way. And it'll be a very long time before you have something that could be like, you know, interactive reality, where, you know, when you punch somebody, even down to, we're just going to get nitpickier and nitpickier. You know, there will be a time where, like, well, when I punch somebody, I didn't see the face, you know, the soft tissue over the hard bone structure distort as they moved to the left and went down. You know, we can do very, very, very realistic games, but with a lot of constraint. Forza. We can make that happen now, but we can't really incorporate that into larger game worlds other than Corridor.
It's always human beings that are the issues. Like objects, like cars and vehicles and, you know, guns and all kinds of stuff. We can make those things look incredibly realistic because they're not objects that exactly, you know, they're not organic objects.
Sometimes, like, even as good as the modeling in GTA is, it's not like you without some mods, it's not like you would mistake that for a real car.
But I also think that for a game like GTA, they're not exactly looking for realism. There is a bit of stylization happening with that game.
There is. Okay, maybe we've like,
maybe a closer one would maybe be something like Hellblade. Like, if we're, you know, I mean, it's kind of going for that very realistic looking look, but, you know, and you see those steel shots of Senua, and she looks amazing sometimes, but then sometimes you just get those little, ooh, okay, I know what that is.
Yeah, that looked kind of weird. I was more marking the fact that, like, you know, Forza can have amazing scenery and, you know, photorealistic graphics because it's kind of in a small corridor, you know. The Order looked really good because it was a very cinematic corridor driven game. So it depends, you know. First, we may get to the point where, well, I could actually say this, the first time we will get to amazingly photorealistic graphic games, it is not going to be an open world or anything you can change. It's probably going to be a very short story driven cinematic game, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but then it'll be quite a long time before we bring that quality into the rest of gaming, where you have a little bit more freedom and the computational power needs to play a little bit of catch up. And then we're going to constantly get hooked into things like, yes, it looks great until it's in motion, and then something looks kind of weird. So it's not going to be like we can flip a switch and have photorealistic graphics. And it's not like a gradual incline either. It's going to be, oh, we'll have photorealistic graphics, you know, in still shots. And we're already achieving that at certain points. But, you know, and the way animations move, or the way that things hook, like, it's going to be harder to make something look indistinguishable from real life in action, as opposed to just, you know, having a still shot. Because you can stop and look across a landscape on a lot of games and have a really pretty skybox and fully rendered, you know, environment. It'll be very pretty and very lifelike. But everybody knows that game where, like, the animations seem off and everything feels, you know, floaty or clunky or whatever. And that'll be the last thing to go.
Yeah. All right, Chris, jump in here, man. What do you say?
I personally don't want ultra-realistic looking graphics. I like the stylized stuff. Like, look, I get excited when I see animation that looks good, like the Dragon Ball FighterZ game. I'm looking forward to that. When I first saw I wasn't a fan of the Budokai Tenkaichi games, but I liked that they were able to do that stuff, like the cell shading and stuff. That excites me. I don't think if I saw a game that looked like, I don't know, Running Man, that I could control it and all that stuff, it would just be creepy to me. So I think we could get to that point with shooting is just constantly changing.
Uncanny Valley.
No, but we're beating Moore's Law, and if they do quantum computing, then that, you know, that would blow away any limitations of, like, oh, we only have a limited number of CUDA cores and all that. That would end that immediately.
You don't think we're going to eventually run into the Uncanny Valley? Yeah, where they, like, yeah, it looks super realistic, but it's dead in the eyes and it's freaking me the fuck out.
Yeah, we're there now. I think how we'll get past that is with I don't know. I maybe integrate some AI into the freaking game. Just make it even more scary. They look real and they act real, so yeah.
Yeah. All right, Brian, jump in here, man. What do you say?
No. Like, I don't see the point of having ultra-realistic graphics, because all it does is just makes things look really odd when things don't look right. Because obviously at some point, like the character is going to do something like really dumb, like fall to the floor, and then that's going to, like, break the whole immersion. So, no, it's a video game. Like, it's meant to have some level of stylisticness to it. Like, whether it just be, like, a small thing or a large thing, like, one of the reasons why people like Dragon Ball Z FighterZ, because, one, it looks like an anime. Like, it looks like an anime, and they've achieved that. Because anime have a certain style. And then compare that to, I think, like Marvel vs. Capcom, when Infinite, when that
yes.
first dropped, and everyone's like, what's wrong with everyone's faces? Like, they just look off, you know? So, yeah, it's pretty dumb. And Brett, Forza is beautiful. Leave it alone.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Forza is beautiful. I was just saying that it's the first one to make it there because it can play within the confines of its box and devote all of its power to looking beautiful. First.
I said that Gran Turismo did it first.
Yeah, it did, actually.
You think so?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Gran Turismo was the first ultra-realistic looking racing game. Then Forza came out, you know?
Today I learned. I got schooled on air, folks.
All right, go ahead, Carlos.
So for sure, it's inevitable that we'll reach ultra-realistic graphics. The advancements we've made within just the past couple of few decades with computer-generated anything has been really extraordinary. So reaching another level to get ultra-realistic, I think it's achievable. Probably within the next couple of decades, if you ask me.
Realism is so boring.
Well, it's...
I'm sorry, like, I think we're going to run into the whole, like, everybody's going to, like, get to the point where I think games are going to start to look more real than reality. Like, they're going to be, like, this weird, over-exaggerated hyper-realistic where everything's super crisp and has contrast and everything's dynamically lit. And then in comparison, like, yeah, like, you can make things look real. Like, out the scenery in DayZ, like, the way that they built the landscape, super realistic. It was exactly like walking through Ohio. Yay. go ahead.
If the market asks for it, then it's going to happen. Like, it's like, for example, there's games like the Quantic Dream games that have like right now, like, kind of shitty, their attempts to realistic like generated people and stuff like that. So if there's a market for Quantic Dream games, there's definitely a people wanting more like realistic stuff. So like, for example, if you just make Heavy Rain and make the characters look photorealistic, then it's game of the year, whichever year it comes out.
Well, Heavy Rain, and here's a good distinction that I think we should bring up. There's realism in play and realism in the way that things look. One of the things that was great about Heavy Rain is the fact that you could interact with the world even in these really boring, like you could walk in, pick up a bottle of aspirin and like look at the back label. It's this ability to be able to just do anything, or even the mundane things. I think we'll get to a point where we start being able to interact with the environment more. And I think in 20 years, when people come back and play our games, they're like, why can I not open any of these doors? And be like, oh, well, we didn't have interiors of buildings back then. And you're like, what? So what? There's a bunch of real fake doors everywhere, and I can't pick up anything. Why does this guy not drop the gun I just saw him using? Like, I think that there will be small quality of life improvements that make for a more
intuitive. Yeah, actually, let's get Adam's taking it, because we've been on this one too long. Adam, what's your take, man?
I would have liked to see more of L.A. Noir, the facial expressions, the way they did that whole thing. That was amazing. Oh. I thought they were going to add that into a lot of other games. That right there is enough for me, because it's all about just seeing the characters' interactions and their faces. And if you could see their expressions clear as day, that makes it even more real. So I remember doing those interviews and seeing their faces. I'm like, this is amazing. I know that actor. I can recognize the actor's face. I can see when he lifts his eyebrow or he like sort of drifts off and stuff with his eye movement. It looked amazing. Just add more of that.
Yeah, so you want games to be more realistic then, right?
Only on the face, not everything else. You don't have to add all the other shit. I don't need mocap.
Oh, God.
But the face, I want to see more of the face.
Right? I mean, we could all agree that Mass Effect was hampered and criticized.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of
the faces. Yeah, you got to definitely concentrate on faces. But anyway, let's move on, man. Okay, second question. This is an interesting one. Okay, are millennials ruining gaming? Nowadays, you can't make a game without something non-PC without fear of people rioting or attacking the developers. More than ever, games are being created to align with the PC and social acceptance agenda. Do you think millennials are to blame, or is there some other cause?
It's a change of the times, man. It's a change of the times. This is how it is. It's social media. Now people can get their voice heard, you know, and they can make a big noise and people listen. We didn't have that back in the day. You had to write letters, and the only people that read it were the people behind the scenes. Now everybody gets to see those dirty letters, you know, and hear those concerns. So.
I think there's more. I'll be honest. Like, do you guys want me to go down the rabbit hole on this? Because I've had this conversation with Tony, and he knows where I'm going to go.
Go for it, Brett. I'm kind of being weird about this myself because I'm trying not to get in trouble. But Brett. Everything Brett's going to say, I agree with. So go.
Okay, so essentially what you're seeing is the idea of postmodernism bleeding through the soft sciences into entertainment. It is this idea that postmodernism encapsulates the idea that the world is unknowable, and because the world is unknowable, it abandons empirical thought in favor of rational thought. To put that simply, it's anecdotal evidence. It is that everybody's world experience is equally valid. If you think the world is flat, then maybe the world is flat. And that's an extreme example, but what this has done is it's caused people to focus on micro narratives of people's experiences being valid just because they themselves have experienced them and not because they're reflective of real life. This series of micro-narratives is what has essentially started and held the social justice warrior movement of a bunch of people saying, like, you know, well, don't assume my gender or my identity or my experiences are valid or blah, blah, blah. We've abandoned the idea of rationalism in the sense that there is something to know. And this is very evident in the whole there are only two genders. We're redefining very basic concepts, even down to the idea that science can't be followed because it was made by a white person. You are having people completely abandoning empirical thought in favor of these micro-narratives. And these micro-narratives, while they're gaining traction, are essentially small outlying factions. And this leads to demagogues. And demagogues basically unite these small factions in an effort to bring them together. But these small factions never agree. And this can be seen in everything from large-scale politics down to small-scale politics and video games and things like that. It is my firm belief that we will eventually see the pendulum swing back the other way, because you cannot develop and continue in an idea where you've completely abandoned empirical thought. You eventually are going to have to come back around. And I think that there's enough people out there, although they're quiet about it, they're not the vocal minority, that there's enough people out there that are honestly getting quite sick of that. You know, I'd point Pete, anybody who wants to argue with me, to Rick and Morty, which, you know, pretty much makes its bread and butter on, you know, pointing these things out and making fun of them. There's a frustration going on there. And I don't know whether it's going to be a big powder keg that blows up or what, but if you want to know why all of these things are being affected, that's essentially why. It's because there's a whole lot of people that say my narrative is just as important as actual fact or anybody else's actual experiences. Like, and that kind of levels the playing field in a really weird way, where you, and the end result is you have characters that you walk up to and you're like, hey, do you know where the bathroom is? And they're like, well, I used to use the ladies' bathroom, but now I use the men's. And you're like, okay, so up the stairs to the left, I guess. So yeah, that's what you're seeing, is people trying to cram the idea of their micro narrative that they have justified by it being their narrative and being just as important as anybody else's experience. So they can cram their, they use this as a reason to be able to cram their ideology down their throat and validate it at the same time. There's my rant.
Yeah, that's pretty much it right there. The only thing I want to quickly say is, it's not a millennial thing. You could have older people that are of that mindset. Also, you could have millennials that are rational thinker. So it's not really millennials. I know people like to bash millennials. I've done it myself, but it's not a millennial problem. You know,
yeah, go ahead, Carlos. Give me a millennial that acts like that, and I can point you a Gen Xer that does the exact same thing. Like it's a thing that has to do with technology and the congregation of different factions of people who are like-minded in several different ways. Like the fact that Like how Adam mentioned it before, you would send a mail to like send like your thoughts to a person. Now, like,
you can we all get to see it, and now we're hearing these voices that have always been there. It's just more vocal. Now we're all seeing it and hearing it and experiencing it, and it's in our face. And when you start banding together, then certain markets start bending to it and be like, oh, well, maybe we need to make these changes. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It's up to you.
Yeah, yeah, I also quickly hold on. I quickly want to expand on what Adam said, because not only do you have social media where you could actually get out there, but see, back in the day, right, the only way you could complain is, like Adam said, through mail. But that takes a lot of effort. So some people, even if they felt that certain way, they would just keep quiet about it, because you have to go through all this shit, postage and all this other nonsense. Now it's just tweet. That's it, you know?
Instantly yeah. Bitch about something.
Exactly.
It goes further than that. Like, yeah, it used to be that you had to write a letter and everything like that. But at the same time, if you went to go learn about trucks and you opened a book on trucks, you didn't have a bunch of assholes who had written in the side columns and deleted and edited it. That's the problem, is that the actual information is being so drowned out by noise. And that's what I mean when I say micro-narratives, that somebody's personal experience is just as important as scientific fact. So you go to read about Alzheimer's, and half of the fucking front listings are about people's personal experience with Alzheimer's, or a Reddit thread about Alzheimer's, or all this other bullshit. And you can't even Wikipedia has been undermined by just there's just things on there that are blatantly wrong, but enough people have heard it and think it that it's put up there on fact. And that is apparently just as valuable to 90% of the population as actual legitimate fact. So not only do you have it coming in with anybody can share their opinion, but you have it coming out with that dumbass opinion is right up there on the internet with articles from actual, you know, educated people with master's degrees in the field, and they're given the same amount of weight, the same amount of space on the internet. So it's so easy for actual good information to be buried by all of this idiotic crap.
Manny, Chris, doesn't that remind you of a certain video game by Hideo Kojima that came out in the early 2000s? I warned about this exact same thing, how actual real information is going to get drowned out by a bunch of nonsense on the internet. Isn't that interesting?
Because that was exactly
Traveler.
Yeah, exactly.
Kojima is the time traveler because that is exactly what Arsenal Gear was. Arsenal Gear was not war and on a physical sense. It was a war, essentially a war device that controlled information. Anything. So if you remember, one of the things they say in the game, it's like the winners of the wars create the history or whatever like that. That was something. I think that was from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah.
So essentially, this was essentially information control, the ultimate control.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you have, like Brett said, if you have shit written by actual professionals having the same weight as, you know, a bunch of idiots and stuff, then you could actually control what is real and what isn't. And I think a lot of these people want that. You know, they want to control what is actually reality. They don't like the actual reality, so they want to twist it around to meet whatever ends they may have. You know, pretty insidious shit going on right now.
Yeah. And as far as gaming goes, that obviously has, you know, what Brett said, it's like it's leaked into video gaming, where it's like, you know, the concerns of a small group of people have now become a big thing.
But it's not just
in an effort to be an all-encompassing game. Now that we're trying to block certain, we're essentially blocking certain other bits of information out.
Well, you have to blame certain video streaming services, of which we may or may not be on right now, depending on where you're seeing this. There are people manipulating the information behind the boards. Facebook has long had algorithms that if they think that you're having some kind of wrong thoughts, they will connect you with people or show you certain curated feeds that try and change your opinion subtly.
Google's doing that too, apparently, and so is YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my point is you have and this is where the tinfoil hat comes out. This is where the old punk rock of me comes out. And I'm like, once again, you got to pay attention to your media, because the media, whoever they are, generally have an agenda that they want to push down your throats. So these voices, these small amount of voices, are being amplified because we've done shit like installed a Twitter safety council and a YouTube advisory board and all this other bullshit. And we've gone ahead and installed these people in places of power just to shut them up because they've been crying so loud. And now we're seeing the fallout of that, because it gives the impression that this is the way a majority of people feel. And I'll tell you something. We wouldn't have a podcast if we were the only people that felt like this, because it's not like we make our shits, you know, we keep it secret or anything like that. Like, we're pretty above board about this is the shit that we think is bull. But at the same time, we're probably not being bumped up a whole lot on the YouTube charts and having our channel shoved in everybody's face because of that. In fact, we're pretty thankful just not to be kicked off YouTube at this
shit,
point,
so. You know, thank you for letting us make money off this shit still, you know. Anyway, anybody else want to jump in on this before we move on to the next question?
All right, go ahead, Brian. Now, let me finish off what I have to say first, because it makes sense.
Okay.
I don't think that these guys are ruining gaming. And the reason why I don't, because gaming has other things that I think are much worse, like just bad business practices. But I still do agree with everything that Brett said. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, and I agree with Brian, too.
Yeah,
that makes a point.
Yep.
I'll also say, my generation of parents has failed. You have failed your children.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because I remember maybe 10 years ago, I was saying, yo, the worst generation is our generation because we're raising a bunch of fuck ups. Yep, it looks like I was right. I do want to say this one last thing just to keep it a little bit topical. Okay, it's not this whole thing that's going on with all these micro narratives. I like that term, Brett. It's not just infecting games. It's infecting TV, infecting movies. It's affecting sports, comic books, everything now, you know? Yeah. And I'll leave it at that. So let's move on, man. Brett's soapbox in the house. So his first question is, since PlayStation makes most of the profit from their subscription service and online store, why don't they try to set up a digital store for games on PC to compete with Steam? I would ask about Microsoft, but we all know how that ended up. by the way, Brett Soapbox, you definitely have a specific agenda here. The reason they're not doing this is because they don't want to cut sales of their PlayStations. That's why, you know?
Price parity.
Pretty much. So they won't have
to practice price parity, and they can't keep up with Steam's prices. So they keep themselves isolated from Steam's market so that their games don't have to be directly compared. Because if you compare the prices, Steam, shit's on sale all the time. Sony, not going to match those prices.
Yeah, you can't beat Steam. Steam's a fucking monster.
Yeah.
So
no,
yeah.
And if they did match the prices on Steam, then people get pissed off. They're like, well, why does it cost more on my console? Why are you fucking over your core audience?
Yeah, that's great. That's a great point.
And not to mention, and this is the other thing, you have to understand that Sony, who sells products inside of actual stores, this doing stuff like that would put them in direct competition with the people that sell their products.
Yes.
That is why you rarely see a game, or ever see a game that is lower in price on the day of launch as a digital version.
You guys wonder why you don't see
Doom though. And it's really up to the publishers. It's not so much Sony or Microsoft.
Well, it is obviously yes, it is up to the publishers. But if you look at that price drop that was on that Doom game, right?
It wasn't
really that much of a bump.
Dude, I've looked into this. Walmart won't give up the shelf space for something worth less than $60. That's why you don't see games being released for less than $60. They'll mark them down. They'll move them into a bin. But those little pieces of you know, real estate in that glass case, those are highly coveted. And the problem becomes that if Sony decide to say, like, you know what, we really don't need to make $60 for this game. We're going to go ahead and offer it digitally for 45 and not make real, you know, not make a whole lot of money off that, but still sell it, you know, physically. Walmart would pull all of those games off the shelf. They would refuse to sell them. They would affect overall sales and they would create a negative media effect. Many a company have actually had to artificially raise the price of their game. Like if they put it out on Steam and it's $40, guess what? It's $60 when it comes to PlayStation, and that's because of shelf space, and that's because of their partnerships with big retail chains.
Yep. Damn.
And this is the same for all physical media, all things. This goes for comic books and movies and every single one of these things. The moment that there are no stores, you know, that have to sell these products, that is when you see – that's when you'll see those sorts of drops.
Why do you think Steam could have those crazy low prices?
That is why Steam has all those drops. That's exactly why iTunes is able to sell songs for 99 cents.
But that's the exact reason why you can't sell a digital comic book for 99 cents when shelf price is $2.99.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because that would put them in direct competition with the actual stores, with the direct market. I actually talked about this on my Twitter once. So, yeah. If Steam was somehow an actual console, right? Just like everything else out there, like, you know, a PlayStation or something like that, and was sold at stores, I definitely think that there would be you wouldn't see those sorts of drops.
Yeah.
But being that they are not.
So Manny, since you're into the comic world, is Comixology that unlimited service thing, is that hurting?
No. Comixology does not hurt
he's talking about Comixology Unlimited.
Yeah, because they do the Unlimited now. It's like,
here's the thing. It's also not really unlimited. It's only like the first arc or two, and then the rest you got to pay for. You know.
Yeah. Go ahead, Manny. Those digital services have all been looked over and mulled over by the companies. If you ever notice, whenever a comic comes out, they're always the same price as they are on the stands. And then maybe a week or two later, something like that, you start to see the drops. It's because on the first, it's just like in the game industry where it's like
not new releases. I don't have Comixology.
It's not new releases. Drops and unlimiteds are always months off.
Yes.
So if you get I'm tempted to talk about Marvel, but if you get the Marvel service, you are only, when you get the Marvel Unlimited service, you're getting all the older books for free or whatever
Yeah, 6 months later, yeah.
You're getting them 6 months later.
Plus.
Huh?
So PlayStation Plus, I mean, yeah, you get your game free after years off. I mean, why would they release a game for free,
Yeah.
Except unless Rocket League. There are some games that
Some do. But the thing is that where does Rocket League make their money?
Yeah, exactly.
They make money
because they
microtransactions, man.
It's a microtransaction.
It's all the free stuff. All that stuff I get for free. What, they have microtransactions?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
What? Well, the cars. You can get cars, but it's not necessary.
It's not necessary,
but
that's
people,
how
buy them. People buy them.
People
anyway,
buy
them
anyway.
You know? They always keep coming up with all these maps, and every time I jump in, I have like all these different maps, and I know I don't have any kind of season pass or anything, and they just give that shit.
Yeah, it's the same thing for Heroes of the Storm. The game is free. The maps are free whenever a new one comes out. The heroes, if you play long enough, you can get them for free. But a lot of people buy them. They just don't have the patience.
Yeah,
exactly. So you know that's how those guys do it. But again, it's like all these different things are all beholden to physical stores. And the moment that I'm sure that will never happen, maybe it might. But the moment that there are no stores that sell these products, if there's no comic book stores, there's no other types of stores, and that digital was the only thing, then you would probably see those sorts of things initially. You will see a full-on game that may be launched for lower on there. But that is probably not going to happen. Most of the country has bad internet, so people are going to just go to the fucking store and get it.
Yeah, I think I read something saying that digital still accounts for a very small amount of pretty much anything, you know, if you take it all together. Like, you know, obviously Amazon's really big and stuff, but people still buy that whatever you could buy off Amazon for real, you know? So it's still low and stuff. Anyway, go ahead.
You know, again, it's like, you know, and then for Sony to do something like that, to make a PC Sony store, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense for them. They much rather, I'm sure... they're perfectly happy to have it be that the Sony PlayStation universe exists in the console and in the console. Even if most of those games, all those games can run on a PC or on Xbox.
Yeah. All right. Next question here. Why are 90% of gaming headsets such crap or feel so cheap, even though they cost upwards of $100? Okay, as a person has reviewed a couple of cheap headsets, I could actually tell you what's going on here. Basically, if a headset is under $250, don't expect great quality. They got to make a lot of concessions in order to make it that cheap. So I know $100 sounds like a lot. It's actually not that much. That's a cheap headset. That's considered a cheap headset. So, you know, if you want like a good, decent headset, $250 and above, that's just the reality of it. But yeah, anything under that, exactly. So anything under that is going to feel really cheap and plasticky because it doesn't have the high end shit that the top tier Astros and shit. Adam, which ones are you rocking right now? The A40s, right?
Astro A40s.
How much does those cost you, man?
It's about $260, $270.
Yeah, see, that's the average. That's the average price. So anything, you know, I know you're saying like, hey, if it's $100, it should be, you know, great. No,
make it three because I got the mix amp.
Okay, yeah. See, there you go.
He's okay. He's on the right price point. It's still a little bit low for just a good set of actual headphones. Like a good set of headphones can run between $80 and $120. And keep in mind that a good set of gaming headphones has pretty much twice the idea of you have your headphone part and then you have your microphone part. So you're going to pay for high quality parts and the price is going to go up. So even just, I want to say this to people out there, don't pay less than $80 for a pair of headphones. I know you can buy earbuds for $20 or $30, but like, you're not going to get good sound quality for anything less than like $80 headphones, no microphone included. So then just about double that for a microphone headset.
Right,
but like I want to say mine, the ones I'm rocking are like $140 and they're wireless and they work pretty decently. The sound quality is not quite as good as my Turtle Beach, but you know, your sound quality doesn't need to be amazing. Like your broadcast quality doesn't need to be amazing for a gaming headset.
I actually use these. If you can see these pair of Sony headsets. Yep, headphones.
That's what I use too. $20.
These ones are a little over. These are a little over 20.
Yeah.
And they have a nice little microphone, which is pretty much the one that it's like a better version of what Sony gives you when you buy the PlayStation when you have the PlayStation 4 one. But these are pretty decent for what they are. I mean, bass is good and stuff like that. I don't really have an expensive pair of gaming headphones, so. That's what I use.
Yeah, I don't have.
Always sound good when I play my music on it. So
yeah, I have the PlayStation Gold headsets. They're all right. You know, I think I paid $80 for that, so I'm not expecting too much. You know, like if you heard me talking through, you hear a bunch of hissing and shit. It doesn't sound that good. But yeah, because it's a cheap headset. You know, That's just how it is, man. Yeah, if you want quality, you got to pay up.
Yeah, all plus, right. Like,
yeah, go ahead.
Final thing, like, there's not that many manufacturers or many companies that invest and create headphones, premium headphones for consoles. So it's the market is really limited. Like, it's only like Astro and Turtle Beach and Sony and like that are really the only premier headphone makers for consoles. So they can raise up and bump up the prices as much as they want.
Yeah, and you pay for brand name on a lot of those too.
Yeah,
like you don't have Sennheiser, Bose doing anything for consoles.
Yo, like those like those Dr. Dre headphones. Come on, man, you're paying a lot of money for
the Beats headphones.
Let's just be honest, you know,
those are horrible.
Even Turtle Beach, like you don't see Turtle Beach headphones, but you see how much shit they sponsor and how much shit they send out, and like they're constantly like it is easy to get a pair of Turtle Beach or Turtle Beach to send you a pair of headphones for review. Not that hard. They're pushing their product pretty hard, just not in the most obvious ham-fisted way. But you know, they have deals with Walmart to, you know, have big displays up and shit like that. So you're a lot of all that costs money, and all that cost gets passed along to you, the consumer. So on a lot of these, and I can't say that there's a better option, but yeah, Sony markets there's one way, Turtle Beach markets there's another way. There's not many great headphone makers or headset makers on the market that are just, oh, these guys are great. You know, LG maybe, if you can find a pair, they generally tend to make good electronics. Logitech used to make good ones, but yeah, then a lot of them don't necessarily work with consoles.
Yeah. All right, man, let's move on here. My man Sean Garrity, been a while, man, since you asked us a question. So it's a little bit of a two-part question. Were any of you fans of the Saga Frontier series on the original PlayStation? So let's start with that one. No, I didn't own the original PlayStation, so no.
I know of that game, but I never played it.
Yeah, anybody here play this thing?
Saga Frontier.
Nope, same as Chris.
I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, I vaguely know the name, but no, can't say that.
Saga Frontier was, I remember it was a pretty damn good, I think it was a Square RPG, right?
I couldn't tell you. Okay. I couldn't tell you. Somebody in the chat.
I'm going to do a short search on it right now to remember it.
All right. Again. The second part of the question. This is really more for me and Carlos, I guess. If you have, negate that part. Have you seen Octopath Traveler on the Switch? Yeah. Carlos and I played the demo of it. Okay. Let's get to the part we disagree on. The voice acting. You thought it was horrible, right, Carlos?
It was horrible. It was horrific, man. Like there's like characters trying to do British accents, but they clearly sound like they're Americans. And there's this particular part where this little kid shows up where he's like, how you gonna do over here? Like some weird ass shit, man. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is this guy saying? Like, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But the game is good.
Yeah. We'll get to that. Yeah. The funny thing is the voice acting was perfectly fine to me. I didn't realize it was bad until Carlos pointed out. And then when I listened to him, I'm like, yeah, I guess I could see where he's coming from, but that totally didn't even got by me. But yeah, let's talk about the game, because the game is actually pretty cool. You know, turn-based RPG. I like how you could kind of stack up your super attacks and stuff, and at least like a super crazy attack. I like that, you know. I like how, you know, you have to use different weapons and stuff to hit the weaknesses and all that shit. It was fun. It was really cool. I like the style, too. It's like a mix of like... what happened?
The story was actually like pretty like intriguing. Like when... I mean, I'm not going to give it away, but there's like a huge thing that happens at the beginning, but it's like, oh, okay. So this is the type of game that they're trying to convey. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. I'm for it. Like, remember, I think me, Carlos, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but that was one of the games we saw on that original Switch reveal. That was like, yo, what's that?
that's our game, man.
Yeah, man. I'm ready for that shit. So yeah, I don't know. What's the connection to that in Saga Frontier? Is it the same developers? Please let us know. I honestly don't know that. Manny, did you do your little research there?
Yeah, I just reminded myself of Saga Frontier. I remember seeing the game and maybe playing a little bit of it, but yeah, I've never really gone into that series. It's always been around, and I kind of forgot about it, which is sad.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right.
So yeah, I don't know very much about the title, the new game
that
you're talking about.
And I think they're calling it Octopath Traveler because there's 8 characters that you could pick from, and then I think they all eventually converge and stuff. Pretty interesting, you know?
Yeah, demo you can only play with one.
Two. You can play with two.
Oh, you can play with two?
Yeah, you can play the girl and the knight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I only play with the knight.
Yeah. They check out. I haven't played the girl's story yet, but you could pick her. She's actually the first one, and then the knight's right after her. Okay, so next up, Digital Tiger 777 with an extremely fanboyish question. Let me finish it too, because this guy throws bombs everywhere and there's one question.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Xbox and filthy neutral gamers are like, Sony needs to stop being arrogant and allow crossplay between the PS4 and Xbone. Knowing damn well Microsoft shunned Sony during the PS3 360 era, even Fraud Spencer, as this guy's crazy, is siding with the same narrative to seem pro-gamer or for the gamers. Why is it so hard for Phil Spencer to apologize on behalf of Microsoft for shunning the PS3 from cross-playing with 360 and try to make amends moving forward? He also spelled Microsoft with the dollar sign. So I think you know where we're coming from.
Different management, man. Different management. Yeah. When a business says, oh, new ownership, you don't walk in and say, damn, why don't you apologize for the guy who sold me them bad foods and then got me sick? Yo, I didn't know. That's not me, man. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Phil Spencer. It's not him. He wasn't in charge at the time.
It was Don Matrick.
Yeah. So I don't understand why people are attacking.
I don't think
him.
He needs to apologize though. Like I would I would like an acknowledgement. It's like, oh yeah, during this time, blah 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 blah. But not an apology. That's
memories of something that he can't control, because then people will go up and look that shit up that don't know and be like, yeah, that guy from Microsoft said it, and not really look up the whole other thing that he's no longer there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not necessary, man.
Well, also something that we mentioned before is that PS3, like the PlayStation Network's creation was during the PS3 era. It wasn't as viable as it is right now, so that could be one of the issues. I mean, I'm trying to be as optimistic.
I remember that before. I mean, that network structure was horrible. Remember, it was like an app. It took forever to log. Until this day, it still has some issues logging in.
The downtimes were like really frequent too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They should work something out, because at least, I mean, Switch and Microsoft, like, who the hell would have expected that?
That's right. All right, let's just get this on the table, because, you know, I've personally said that, you know, it's up to Sony or Microsoft. It's, you know, it's up to them. But I think everybody in this room would say it would be cool if they actually did it, you know? Oh, I would love it, personally, you know?
I would love it.
But it's at the same time, you know, it's up to us to really let these companies know, you know. But it's also not anti-consumer that they're holding it back. That's their prerogative, you know. Just got to throw that out there. No, I think that's pretty much it. Let's move on to the next question here.
Jumping like really quick.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, man.
I always do. Yeah, it's not anti-consumer, but I can still say that Sony's being a giant dick.
Yeah, massive cock.
Last gen, Microsoft were being massive dicks about it. Now Microsoft are being okay about it. Now it's Sony being giant dicks about it. And rightfully so, they should get called out for their bullshit. Just how Microsoft got called out for their bullshit. I think that's only fair.
Yeah.
And I feel like you, not you, Tony, but the guy that wrote the question, is getting extremely annoyed that Sony's being called out for the bullshit, when rightfully so, they should get called out for their bullshit. That's it. Like, there's no, like, oh, but Microsoft did it last gen. Like, so what? Sony's doing it now. Like, we are in the here and the now. And right now, it's Sony that's being the massive douchebags, so they deserve be like the massive douchebag title that they have right now. Sorry. Like,
yeah.
I have no control over that. Like, we are the throwdown. Like, we call out this bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we'll
Nah,
that's
man, you must
do.
You must
right
have
now,
a bias.
Sony's placing. Being douchebags.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fuck PlayStation, fuck Xbox, fuck Nintendo.
Do something. Fuck, throw down, fuck baby,
well.
Throw down.
There you go.
Oh, shit.
Everyone gets to fuck you. You know?
There's a little known saying.
Yo, fuck the Ouya, son.
Man, middle fingers to everybody.
You know, fuck them all. We're gonna. Hey, Carlos, maybe this week you won't get so much heat from that one guy. Multiple man.
Yeah, man. Apparently, I'm a Sony hater. I'm biased against Sony. So, Brian,
what if you are? Who cares, man? It's your opinion.
I know. I'm just saying.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't get that. Like,
why
does everybody have to agree on everything?
Yeah, I know.
A bunch of people forget two wrongs don't make a right. Like, I get, like, if somebody did something to you before, but turning around and doing that same thing back to them, that's called being vindictive. And it's right. Petty, childish behavior. So, yeah, like, we got to call Sonia. Like, yeah, it's kind of being a bit of a bitch about it, man. Like, If you're doing this just to be a vindictive asshole at the expense of your the happiness of your core audience, like, that's kind of a dick move. Dick move, bro.
Yeah, man. By the way, I just realized I've been doing this whole show without flipping my fucking camera. So I did that right now. All right, let's move on, man.
Wait, hold on a second. So, I didn't get to say anything.
Oh, no. Chris, you sure, man? You sure you don't want to get in trouble by these ponies, man? They may come after us right now.
No, because I don't care. I said this last week that Microsoft was missing out on an opportunity without crossplay because we got a question about Fortnite that they accidentally pulled this off, right?
Yeah.
And they had to go patch it and undo it, right? So we know it's easy to do. We know it's not a technology limitation or whatever. This is a artificial corporate limitation just done by Sony. So we know they're being dicks about this. So we already agreed on this. We already said this. So there's no bias or any bullshit like that. Yeah, and I know Microsoft did it last generation. So what? Now they want to correct it, and Sony's like, now, fuck you guys. We don't want crossplay. So now they're being dicks. Like, you have to call it out as you see it. It can't be like, well, yeah, like Brett said, oh, they were bad last year. So what? Who gives a shit? You could be better than that.
Yeah. No, two wrongs don't make a right, man. All right, anybody else want to jump in on this?
2 out of 3 bad.
All right, this next question is kind of interesting. If you could play the role of Mario trying to save Princess Peach, who would you cast as Princess Peach? Note, girlfriends, wives, or significant others are not allowed.
I could play Mario. I don't want to be Mario.
Well, that's the question. That's the question.
Wait, what's the question?
Okay. If you
what is could, not like the Princess Peach type?
I don't know. Then cast her out of role. I already have my Princess Peach.
So it's basically if there was another Mario movie, who would we cast as the princess?
Yeah, like I think the question is like if you were playing Mario in the Mario movie, who would you want to be your Princess Peach?
So is it just who would be your Princess Peach? Like who would be the princess you rescue or
so Rodriguez? Everybody knows that. Yeah. Rodriguez. I don't understand why this is even a question. All right, let's just move on. That's it. We got it.
For me, it's a Mercedes Carrera, man. Fine ass woman, man. Check her out on Twitter, please. You know, the thing is, but she likes guns, right? So when I find her, I'm gonna give her a gun, and we can both shoot our way out. You know, that's my Mario movie. It's violent, man. All right, guys, come on, Manny, go.
I don't know. What's her face from?
Say the Fast and Furious, Michelle Rodriguez.
What's her favorite Defenders? Night Nurse.
Oh, you want to save her? Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I can't remember her name. What's her name?
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
You want Rosario Dawson to play Princess Peach?
Yeah. Why not? What are you trying to say? A Puerto Rican can't be Princess Peach?
Hey, hey wait no, a minute.
She's Dominican. She's Dominican.
But I named a Puerto Rican too. Carlos didn't get mad. What's going on here?
No, but it wasn't because of that. It's because Rosario Dawson is a strong like character. Like she always portrays like. What?
But this is a brand new Princess Peach, man. You could be a princess and powerful.
Oh, so you're changing like okay. So she's not playing the victim in this movie. Like she does it every game.
No, she's whatever character we've established her as. I mean, she's not gonna be like oh Mario.
Oh, good. I mean,
you know this is what happened.
If you remember the original Super Mario Brothers, the Peach was also not a damsel in distress in that one either.
You're talking about the movie.
The movie.
Yeah.
I already forgot about that, man. I tried to remove
this. See, because I'm imagining, you know, Bowser rolled up with his troops, right? And like, I guess in Rosario Dawson's case, she's fighting these motherfuckers all, but they were just too much for her, you know?
She's all like the dude, the chick from Sin City. She's got her
machine gun.
Yeah, man.
She's got her machine gun blowing all them away, you know?
I thought we were basing it off, like, the games.
Nah, we don't need to, because he didn't get very specific. That's stupid, you know. Anyway, Chris, man, go ahead.
And then they'll get mad at me for casting Rosario Dawson as the Princess Peach for two reasons. Number one, she's playing a former damsel in distress character, and then the other half would be like, "Oh man, they're not Puerto Rico. They're not Princess Peach is not Hispanic.
Yeah, she ain't Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican."
He's not even human, though.
Oh, shit. Dio says Eva Mendez. That's a good one, too, man. All right, Chris, go ahead.
I was gonna say if we're going with the classic Princess Peach, that I would just pick Kate Upton.
Ooh.
It's like, don't need a lot of lines, but you look stunning. So
damn, that's a good one. All right, Carlos.
God damn it, Chris was so good.
That was a perfect one. If you want to go traditional, yeah.
if I could just insert Victoria's Secret Model X into this, yes. Same narrative.
All right, Brian.
I'd say any of the UFC chicks. That way they'll just fight themselves out.
And that's it. Brian will just chill at home. Me. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Brett.
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, that's a good one. Furiosa.
All right,
you know?
Furiosa.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, and Adam, who did you say again?
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I didn't say it. Michelle Rodriguez. You guys should all know that.
You crazy,
Brett, you could be all silent like Mad Max. Essentially, it'll just be a remake of Mad Max, but with Mario characters.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd be amazing.
No, I just saw her in Atomic Blonde, actually, and that's why I was like, actually, she and... Yeah, and that was actually a really surprisingly decent movie.
Nice. All right, moving on here, my man Joel Torres, keeping on the women front here. Why do you guys think there are so few women game developers? I'm going to say this, right? You got to understand the vast majority of developers, you don't see them. They're not in your face like that. There's plenty of women developers. They're just behind the scenes doing art or programming or whatever a developer does. You know what I'm saying? So there's plenty of them out there. But on the question, the reason you don't traditionally see a lot of them, because remember, video games were traditionally, you know, a male-dominated thing. Now it's different and shit, but there are plenty of them out there. It's just they're behind the scenes actually working on the actual games. You know, they're not in your face like Cliff Bleszinski and shit, you know?
There's some brilliant video game programs that were women from the past, like back in the Atari days and shit like that. So, I mean, they're out there. It's just you just need to take the time and look.
Yep.
You know, just because they're not, you know, touting them in front of your face all the goddamn time doesn't mean that they're not out there. And I say the same thing about developers of color. I mean, Black, Hispanic, Chinese, everybody out there, Indian. You know, the thing is, these people, everybody's out there. You just need to you just don't need to wait for people to tell you that they're out fucking out there.
Yeah, I mean, the perfect proof of that, read the ending credits of any video game. There you go. There's like women, there's men, there's, you know, different nationalities. It's all in there. You just got to look. It's just most people, they just see whatever's on IGN or whatever. It's like, okay, that's it. That's
all. It's because, hey, yeah, you know, you see the guy on the TV and they don't show all the studio all the damn time. And they're not sitting there and sitting them down in front of everybody and saying, hey, why did you become a video game developer? Some people, you also got to realize that some people.
Well, hold on. I don't think that's quite accurate. I'm going to have to stop you right there. Because when you look at E3, any E3 presentation, right? When they bring out the engineer, who do they bring out?
An Asian guy.
Nine out of ten times it's a guy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's true.
But they bring out women when it's like the marketing director of so-and-so or the advertising so-and-so. So women have been kind of relegated to a different portion of the gaming. Yeah, they're in the credits, but they're not in an engineering role.
But I also think that it also has to do with people seeking out these sorts of roles too.
I don't think
a game studio is immediately saying, "Hey, I'm not going to hire this woman because she's a woman."
No, I think it's not that.
There aren't enough applicants.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem. The problem goes to the college level. Like when gaming started becoming male dominant, like you said, in the Atari days, there were more women in computer science and engineering and they were coding. Well, what happened is they started gearing gaming towards boys, right?
Yeah.
And men. So they started advertising towards men. So more men pursued computer science and stuff to make games that they wanted to play because they grew up with those games and they grew up with that advertising. So it created a situation where, computer science and programming engineering became male dominated because they were like, oh, I'm playing this stuff. It's being geared towards me. I'm going to go into that field and enhance it. And women were kind of pushed out of it. Right.
And by the way, that's just not relegated to computer science. That's just STEM in general.
Yeah. So that's what started happening. So there was less women seeking out those type of degrees. So then you have less applicants because there's not women qualified to do that role, they were kind of pushed away from pursuing those things, right? And then, so now you have the situation where most engineers are men, right? Because everything in gaming was geared towards us, towards boys. It's advertising, you know, Nintendo, all that stuff.
Isn't that the same for comics? The comic industry was the same, right?
But it's an older industry, you know. So
can I just take a moment to point out that a bunch of mostly post 30-year-old male quote unquote misogynist gamers are pointing out the fact that we need to generate more interest for young women in the early stages and generate interest in the STEM fields to pursue them into these kinds of careers to help self correct the problem. I just want to point out that we're offering a reasonable solution when we talk about the bullshit of like, hey, you know what? Instead of ham-fisting it, how about you do something that actually addresses the problem? We've addressed the problem. We've offered a solution. Just throwing that out there.
But Brett, that's not how we address the problem. See, how we address the problem is that we have a quota for women. That way, like, we just like force women into like the industry, and that will fix everything.
Exactly. We need to find all the female developers we can.
People, women, people in wheelchairs, like Tony. Tony, even though like, you hate doing stuff, you should still apply for it because like you're disabled.
Probably get it.
I should. Yeah, probably get it too. Wouldn't that be a bitch?
What are your qualifications? I'm disabled.
That's it.
Okay, you're hired.
Got it.
No merit whatsoever.
Can you go into the other room? We need to take some pictures for the website. You're the star of the month, employee of the month. I just started. No doubt, you're going to be great. So listen, go in that room. Don't worry about your hair. We'll airbrush all that shit. You'll be good.
Yeah, but no, you definitely need to, like, you know, let women know, hey, you can get into this. You know, just them in general. You know what I mean? But yeah, so I hope that answers that question.
It's kind of sad that people have to be told that they can do these sorts of things.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
you know what I mean?
I don't think it's that they have to be told. It's that you have to generate interest, right? And like they're teaching coding as a mandatory class. It's not even an elective anymore. And I think everybody should have a little bit of like, they may get into it and they may be like, oh, this is really cool. Some people are going to be pulled into it. But yeah, like it's a self-perpetuating problem that it is a male-dominated industry. We don't necessarily want it to be that way, and we like good games and good storytelling for good games and good storytelling. I don't think any of us really give a shit who makes it. They could be farted out by a magic leprechaun in a far-off grove somewhere.
I don't give a fuck. As long as it's
good. It would be cool, and I would like to know about this leprechaun. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Adam, you just got Adam interested in this leprechaun.
No, man. I was like, yo, I told my therapist they do exist. He's like, no, they don't. No, they don't.
Yeah.
See, I pull a trick on him. It's actually a dinosaur.
Oh, shit.
Shit. You like dinosaurs now?
I'm out. You know what? I'm not going to deviate the topic a little bit because I could go into it. Because, you know what? I will say this. Do you know, Manny's right, though. You know how many times, like, people actually do need to be told, you can do this. You know how many times I've been told, oh, shit, they let us, Latinos, write about video games? I'm like, yeah, they do. Anybody could do it, but this happens all the time. How many times haven't you gotten that shit? Oh, they let us into comic books?
Yeah, that's. I mean, the thing is that, like, seeing. I mean, I'm not to say that seeing a representative of women, gays, or any race sitting there and, you know, doing this sort of thing is incredibly inspiring. But at the same time, people don't know because people don't see them in the forefront all the damn time. They don't think that these things are possibilities.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't know how many times I've been sitting in those comic conventions. It's like, yo, man, it's great to see him. You know, Hispanic man, or even with my boy Kari. Like, you know, see a brother. You see you guys doing this sort of stuff. I'm like, you know, it's like, you know, I didn't know we could do this sort of stuff. I'm like, dude, you can do anything you want to do. You just need to have the drive.
You sound like those commercials on TV.
I hear that all the time. Yo, I didn't know they let Latinos write about video games. Like,
no, man. What? The thing is that we're, again, a lot of us are out there, you know, holding it down, doing these sorts of things. You know, it's just a matter of trying, also looking for those things. I mean, again, you know, not telling, letting the media tell you these things are out there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Again, you know, it's like we're like, even our podcast alone, like we're like, well, you know, I hate the, you know, we're a pretty diverse podcast, but we're not going to be saying that all the damn time. But we want to do it. Awesome,
beating the drum about it isn't the right fucking thing to do.
It wasn't by design. It just happened naturally. You know what I'm
saying? Exactly. And that's, I think that's what people need. People can't let their situation or their life things, all those things, get in the way of the things that they dream of doing.
Yeah.
Go out there. Even if you don't see, you know, a guy like me or any of us doing these sorts of things, there's that one question in your head. Why can't I do that?
Yep. There you go.
And that's what you should go out there with.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on this real quick?
You're, no matter what you do, you're going to encounter gatekeepers, and the gatekeepers are going to have a multitude of different motives for wanting to hold you back. It could be that they're petty. It could be that they're jealous. It could be that they've just had bad luck. A number of things. I think we've all had a bad teacher at one point tell us that you can't do something. I've been a professional artist for over a decade. I had an art teacher tell me I'd never amount to anything. Okay, cool. Cool story. Whatever the reason, there are going to be people that try and get in your way, and they're going to be haters. And I think it's important not to try and figure out a reason to attribute to these haters. Let them hate for whatever reason. I think when you start trying to find logic in it, you can bring up boogeymen pretty easily. You know, like, oh, I didn't get the job today. Why didn't I get the job? Is it because they have blank discrimination against me? Like, yeah, I mean, that's helpful to bring up, but at the same time, you don't want to let it get away from you. And giving into these people just kind of feeds whatever motive they had. It's best to just know that for whatever reason, there's always going to be people who want to stand in your way, are going to want to make you prove something before you're allowed to go on. And that's in hobbies, in jobs, in personal circles. There's always fucking gatekeepers. Don't let them get to you. Just do you, and you'll get through it. So yeah, my biggest point is don't focus on the differences, because the more that people are assholes and it lets us focus on what divides us, the more that we let them win.
Follow your dreams. You can't reach your goals.
All right, man. The next question is also about women. Do you think 50% of gamers are women, or is that bullshit?
That's bullshit.
All right. Explain why.
Because I'd love for there to be 50% of gamers that are women. I know way more gamers that are men than are women. In fact, as somebody who's a gamer and constantly looking to open my social circle to other gamers, it is incredibly hard to find female gamers compared to male gamers. I'm sure that they're out there, but it's definitely not a 50-50 split.
No, here's the reason why it's 50-50 according to all these studies, right? Because they lump mobile gaming in there, right? So a lot of women play mobile games, so it's 50-50.
Everybody plays mobile fucking games.
I don't play that shit.
Well, I'm saying generally everybody does, and it kind of weirdly blends out the statistic. Look, let me put it to you this way. How many people know a single male gamer who would cut off his left foot to find a girl that he's compatible with that would just hang out and play video games with him? I know so many guys that just settle for the fact that, like, my girlfriend doesn't get pissed that I play video games. Does she play video games with you? No, not really. If you have one of those that do play video games with you, you're considered lucky, and that is an awesome thing. But if it were truly a 50-50 split, you wouldn't see so many guys looking for somebody that shares a hobby with them. It wouldn't be quite so one-sided. And quite frankly, that's where like 90% of the creepiness that a lot of people talk about, like gaming conventions or nerd culture, comes in, is the fact that there isn't an equal representation of females. So especially if you're an attractive female that shares a passion for games or comic books, you walk in and everyone's like, oh, holy shit. Because you know what? You're not that common. And we'd all like you to be more common. Quite frankly, not so anybody can be creepy dirtbags to you, but just we'd like you to not be the exception to the rule. We'd like to have more females in gaming. I'd like to get my ass stomped in Destiny by more girls. Awesome, cool, let's do this shit. But it doesn't feel that way unless female gamers are blatantly quiet. And honestly, I don't know why they would. Like, anybody who's ever a lot of people that I know, like, if you've ever played an MMO, you know, if you rock a female character, people just give you shit. It's great.
Yeah, quick shout out to Black Metal Gamer who threw us $2. Appreciate that, brother. No, you're right about that. It is very rare to find, like, don't get me wrong, I know plenty of, like, real gaming girls, but that's because I'm in the industry. But before that, I didn't actually know any. I'm being honest. It wasn't until I got into this industry that I met girls that are into games as much as I am. But before that, in the real world, no, not really, you know?
Well, honestly, like, for you guys, like, how many guys have played Halo Online?
I played it. We all played it.
Right. I played
Adam,
it.
Have you heard the stuff that gets said on Xbox Live?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
if you were a woman, would you want to sit in those rooms?
Oh, like, I've been better. I've played. I have two girls on my list now. One that I played Division with whenever we would play on, and have other guys, people jump in, they would say nasty shit to her.
That's why they have to have just, shit on their voices.
We boot them out. We boot them out. We're like, all right, well, there's another guy. We're going to be a teammate.
Boot them out and stuff, but it's always – that changes. Like, I hear enough stuff about me. It's like, yo, fag, I'm going to bid you over. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Keep talking. You know? But that's me, right? But you're a woman. You walk in there, you hear that shit. It's a different context.
Yeah.
Sorry, especially if they find out you're female, you know? So I can understand why they don't want to be in that environment.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, let's just be honest. I actually do know some girls that they just won't say anything online because as soon as they start talking, a bunch of these creepy motherfuckers come out of the woodwork. You know, hey, baby, how you doing? You know, let me slap my finger down your ass. Shit like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, slow down, guys. Daniel Lawson, thank you for the money as well. Thanks, so, man. But so that's the thing. There might be more girl gamers out there than we know, but some of them do stay hidden because there's a lot of creepy assholes, man. Yo, let me tell you guys a quick story. I remember one time, remember Home on PlayStation? So one time for the fuck of it, I'm like, I'm going to be a female avatar, right? Yo, as soon as I got into the game world, there was like 20 dudes swarming around me. What's your digits? What's your measurements? I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I'm a guy. And then everybody just went away. It's crazy. So women have to deal with a lot of bullshit we don't need to, you know? Like Chris said, like, if somebody goes to me, oh, you fucking faggot, you stupid nigger or some shit, like, I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, but, you know, here's some women getting told that different context, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of don't blame them for not wanting to be involved with gaming, you know, because there's a lot of dumb shit.
But I mean, the thing is that you're talking also about the online universe.
Yeah, yeah. But who's also
to say that a lot of female players are playing non-online games?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about that, like, specifically, like, okay, obviously, if you're playing a game alone, you're not going to hear any of that nonsense, but if you're playing online, and even like Chris said, you go to conventions, there's some weird dudes out there I hate to use the stereotype, guys that are more or less social rejects, they see a really hot woman, they don't know how to act around her, so they act wrong, you know? So there's definitely that. We can't deny that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, definitely.
No, because there's some people out there like, oh, that shit doesn't happen. That shit doesn't happen. Yes, it does. You know, yes, it does. You know? All right. Let's move on here to All Day Digital, man. All right. His first question is, what genre of video? I think we may have been asked this one before. As a matter of fact, all these next couple questions are we've been asked before. Okay. So we're just going to give quick answers.
All right.
What genre of video game are you into now that you have never been into before? His answer.
Oh, yeah, we were definitely asked that.
So we're going to just quickly go through these. He goes, for me, it's Hearthstone. For me, not now. Back in the day, I used to hate RPGs. I love them now. All right, Manny, go.
Game genre that I don't think I officially answered that the last time
you
either.
Yeah, you didn't. All right, so we'll move on. Chris.
Think about now tactical RPGs, like War of the Lions and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I never used to play that. I'm like, what? I got to wait turns and shit? It's bad enough for old RPGs, you got to wait your turn. Everybody moves like they're on a chessboard. But no, I kind of like them now.
Cool. All right, Carlos.
MOBAs. I didn't really play them before, and then Awesome Nuts came out, and then Heroes of the Storm, and I play it every day now.
Nice. All right, Brian.
RPGs. I never was a fan of them. Now it's like, hey, let's just give it a go, and that's that.
You're like, it's on.
It's on. All right, Brett. This man's sleeping. All right, Adam. What about you?
JRPGs. I liked RPGs, but like Fallout and stuff. But JRPGs. Persona really got me into it.
Nice. All right, Brett, what about you,
man? You never played RPGs before. We even went back
Final Fantasy VII was like the last real one. That was years and years and years ago.
All right, Brett, go ahead.
I don't really have one. I've pretty much always played most games. I've played more fighting games, if you call Absolver a fighter. I didn't used to be as into Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. I liked them, but I wasn't huge into them. But some of the newer generations of fighting games, I've been more into.
Nice. All right. His second question is, what is the worst video game accessory you have ever owned? For me, it was the Airflow air conditioning PS2 controller. I don't even know that one.
Those things sucked.
That was the thing with the cool off your hands? Wasn't that the cool?
So I guess.
So bad.
I don't know. I've been generally pretty good with gaming accessories.
Oh, I got one too. Hold on. It's on my desk somewhere.
I hope Adam's is the same as mine. Because it's a really bad one too.
I mean, maybe those shitty, like, Mad Catz memory cards with the rumble pack.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know?
Let me see if you guys can top mine. All right, so my accessory was the fan that connected externally to the Xbox 360 that would blow in air, the hot air, back into the 360 console.
Oh, the intercooler?
Shit. Yeah. The intercooler. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So that thing would just streamline that Red Ring of Death, man.
Yeah, it made it worse. I remember that. That was a shit product. Who made that? Nyko? It was a Nyko.
Nyko. Yep. Yeah. I still have it too.
Yeah, my issue is with a Nyko also. I can't find it now, but it was a chat pad for the PS4. I hate it because it had rubber buttons. And if they were plastic, maybe they would have a little clicky, but it was all spongy. I'm trying to use it, and everything's just real spongy. I was like, I can't.
Did you ever have the 360 chat pad?
Yeah, I have
that thing
here too. Yeah,
that's
shit, man.
Oh, I have that down here.
Yo,
let me find this shit.
Carlos, I remember that thing you're talking about, intercooler, because it actually overheat consoles.
Yeah, like, man.
They made one for the PS2, for PS3. I was thinking about getting it. People were like, Tony, don't buy that shit. It's going to fuck your system up. You know? So I didn't. and then my PS3 fat died anyway, you know?
Let's see. Go ahead, Ben, I didn't get to go. Go ahead. Worst peripherals. You know, I would have to say, and I only bought this thing just so that I had a controller. Well, any of the ones that you can get from the stupid GameStop. Like, you remember at one point GameStop started making, like, their own shit bag controllers?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So that was going to be my answer.
when I got the Wii U, I mean, not the Wii U, but the Nintendo Wii, I wanted to have GameCube games. So that's when I did that. Yeah.
All right. Chris.
No, but yeah, they'll do that too on the slide. I'm going to say that too, because I went into GameStop. I wanted a wired 360 controller, right? So I asked the guy for a wired 360 controller. Threw in a bag for me. I go outside. I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's a stamp with GameStop. They made their own bullshit. Dude, that controller broke in like 3 months. It was garbage.
Wow. Yeah,
they made some. I mean, granted, it is the GameStop branded controller, and obviously it wouldn't be that bad, but at least expected a little something over that. Come on.
That's some bullshit. Right.
Some might say the power glove.
I couldn't find that one, but I found the. Here's that.
Yeah, Adam showed off. Yeah.
That's nice.
I don't know if you've seen it. Yeah, it had this cool little trackpad thing here. So if you were using the mouse, like if you were the pointer, if you were online, it would just activate and start moving around and it would light up. It had a backlight, but it's spongy. So it didn't click. And it's like I couldn't really tell. And it doesn't have, you know how we have the star points with the dots on a keyboard?
Yeah.
It didn't have that either. So the Xbox wanted to find that one because that one did have it. So I can easily just start typing away and I didn't have to look down. But with this one, I had to look down. It was a pain in the ass because that defeats the whole purpose of trying to type fast.
Yeah. All right. Brian.
Never really had one, honestly. Sorry.
All right. Brett.
Mad Catz controllers. Fuck those things.
Those things were fucking trash, man. Horrible controllers.
You also let me just put an honorable mention: the power glove.
Oh, you
as
got
iconic
that shit?
As iconic as the power glove was, that thing was a piece of shit. Along with Rob the Robot.
Oh man! All right, Black Metal Gamer. All right, again, more questions we've been asked before, so we just give one word answers. What are some of the most overrated games in your opinion? He says Earthbound and GoldenEye. Interesting.
That for some people, those would be fighting words, but to each his own.
Yeah, exactly. My answer before was the first BioShock. That was because I played it 5 years after it came out. So I'm like, what's the big deal about this fucking game? You know?
This question is going to get us heated.
Well, it did get heated before, you know? So again, one word answers, then we'll move on. We went through this already. Manny, most overrated game that you played?
Xenogears.
All right, Chris.
That is one of the games. Oh, that and Final Fantasy VIII. Those are the two only games that I've in the recent, 32-bit till now games that I've sold back.
Wow. All right, Chris.
Damn. Shit, man. Circle back to me.
All right, Carlos.
Heavy Rain.
Ooh. Brian.
Fuck it. The Last of Us.
I knew you were going to say that.
Either that or Uncharted, but I actually enjoyed Uncharted.
Wow. All right, Brett.
Horizon.
All right. Nothing before that? Shit. All right, that's fair enough. Adam.
Yeah, some of the God of War. I wasn't too Ascension. Impressed with all of them. Yeah, Ascension.
Ascension was nobody liked that game.
Oh, yeah, nobody liked Ascension.
Nobody liked that fucking game. All right, Chris, what about you, man? You made up your mind?
Nah, I gotta skip. I'm blanking.
Fair enough. All right, this is the reverse question, which we've always answered. Are there any trash or critically panned games that you actually like? He goes for him. It's Army Men, Zelda 2, I Am Bread, and Surgeon Simulator. All right, Manny, so any games that were shitted on that you were like, hey, I like this game?
The Bouncer.
Yes, the one you gave before, too.
Murdered Soul Suspect.
Ooh, that's a good one. Was it critically panned? I didn't know that.
It wasn't. Yeah, it didn't get really. I mean, here's the thing. Both those games. It didn't sell well, but I mean, it didn't get very. It wasn't really panned, but it didn't get like amazing ratings. Yeah, and the Bouncer
was panned, though.
The Bouncer was panned.
Yeah. Chris, what's your answer? Remember, video games, not movies, not Last Action Hero.
I did enjoy Resident Evil Revelations.
Oh, okay. And,
two had bad rating.
The first
two is trash.
Yeah, but I thought Revelations.
Oh, the first one.
Yeah, well,
oh, yeah, okay. That did well.
Oh, I thought they both got panned.
No. It's just the second one.
The second one is abysmal.
Yeah.
That's why they keep remaking Resident Evil Revelation for every fucking console, because it was actually the only decent Resident Evil game.
I was confused about that. I see Resident Evil 4, and I'm like, okay, I can understand why they're remaking that over and over again. You know, it's obscene.
Anyway, but, video games.
Games that's underrated. I didn't like Lords of Shadow. I didn't like... Shit, I'm blanking.
Yeah, I had the same problem. No,
this is critically playing
games that were praised games that were shitted on by the critics that you liked. This is a tough one for me because generally I don't really buy crap games. I think I skipped it last time too. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, Carlos, what about you, man?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It's because I'm trying to think of what games were critically panned, like. In general, like sometimes I don't even know which games that I played were critically panned. So, I don't know. Was Awesome Knots shitted on?
No, people like that game, man. I was the only guy who didn't like it.
Yeah, I know your review. Your review for STVU and Play, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember it wasn't that good.
People got mad at you for that one too.
Nah, not really. They didn't know what the hell the game was.
I got mad at you. I just didn't say anything.
Yeah,
I was joking.
Son of a bitch.
All right.
Yeah. Same thing as you guys. I'm not too sure.
Yeah. Brian, I know you got a couple.
I would go with Lost Planet 2. I felt that game was. It didn't get panned. It just didn't get that high reviews. I think it was like roughly around like 5-6, which is okay, but I thought it was just amazingly fun game. But that's just me.
All right. Brett.
I can't really think of any. Like, most of the time. Like, I've really enjoyed some games, but if they get bad reviews, they're usually justified, at least in my book, of like, yeah, it was fun, but it was kind of buggy, or it was good, but it got boring after a while.
All right, Adam.
Oh, man, I would like to say any of the Telltale games, because I don't feel like they have a really review, and people always say, oh, it had all these glitches, it crashed.
No, but they're always critically like praised, though, man. Those games always get high scores.
I feel like they're always bashing and saying that it's got these issues, and the game mechanics are old and stale. It's like,
Well, that seems to be happening more now.
Yeah, that's now, but it were always praised back in the day. And you know, I think people are just catching up to the things that regular gamers have been saying for years, you know?
I kind of wish they go back to making point-and-click adventures, like real point-and-click adventures.
With actual puzzles and shit, you know?
With actual puzzles instead of just like, hey, click the next object to continue.
Yeah, all right. Then the last question, Mr. Altajira. Again, we've answered this one before, but, you know, we just give a quick answer. Oh, I think Altajira's from the UK. He spelled favorite with a U. All right, cool. What is your favorite boss fight of all time? He goes, for him, the Hercules fight from God of War 3. That's a good one. You know my answer, man. The end from Metal Gear Solid 3. The best boss fight. The boss fight was so good, I purposely had a save card with that save. I could constantly keep replaying it. So fucking good. All right, Manny. Best boss fight of all times.
The CQC battle with the boss at the end of the game.
Ooh, that's a good one.
All right. I got so good at with doing CQC in that friggin' game. Like I would beat Vulgan with CQC, didn't use any guns and stuff like that. I was like, you know. So I was good. I love that.
Nice. Chris.
I'd say the final battle in Metal Gear Solid. Beating Metal Gear Rex and then fighting on top of it with Liquid.
Yes.
Amazing. I never experienced anything like that. That's the first time I experienced anything like that.
The first Metal Gear was like wall-to-wall epic boss battles, man. It was
like an action. It was, at the end of the game, it was like an action movie. It's like, you just fought a giant robot and beat it. Now you have a fist fight on top of it. Now you're going to have a car chase.
Yes, man. Take your shirts off, too, while you're fighting, man. Like, men, you know? All right, Carlos.
Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core.
Crisis Core? Interesting.
Yeah, that was a good ending, man. That was a good boss battle. Like, it had, like, a lot of the same beats as Final Fantasy VII, but it felt like, I don't know, to me, the story hit more for some reason in Crisis Core than it did in 7.
Nice. All right, Brian, favorite boss fight of all time?
I would say either Zeus from God of War 3 or the final boss battle in Metal Gear Solid 4, purely because the soundtrack and the fact that he actually went through and changed the health bars.
Yes.
Did appreciate that. I'm like, okay, this is a game meant for the people that have stayed with the series, and yeah, thank you for that.
Awesome. All right, Brett, favorite boss fight of all times?
Yeah, the most memorable one is probably Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII. That soundtrack was pretty epic.
Yeah, Adam.
All the boss battles in Gears of War 1. Going against a big spider, going against the big blind monster that was chasing after you just by sound. General Ram on the train at the end. That was awesome.
That cheesy motherfucker, man.
Yeah, I hated that thing.
I hated
him.
Yeah, he was annoying. You know, but it was pretty. It was an epic fight. But yeah, he got cheesy. Yeah. You know. Yeah, that's gonna pretty much do it for us. So a couple of things here. So we're gonna be streaming some more Destiny 2 on Monday and Tuesday. Hopefully, things won't get stupid on my end with the internet. You know, I'm gonna just lower the bitrate, probably put it at 720, and I'm also gonna make a local recording just in case it gets fucked up. I'll have something to upload just in case. And Manny brought up an interesting theory. He was wondering, what if whatever was causing Destiny to crash on my shit is the reason this was happening? Because again, I've used these exact same settings for GTA, for every other game, Dragon Ball, whatever. Nothing's ever gone wrong. This is the first time that's ever happened, you know. So who knows? But hopefully it'll go good. So yeah, Monday I'll be playing with Brett and my cousin. And then Tuesday I'll be playing with Adam and Carlos. So it'll be fun, man. And I think that's pretty much it. There's no real show notes in it. We don't have any guests or anything coming up. So let's wrap it up. Wrap it up. All right. Thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a question to the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or on the Coalition. And we'll answer my next week's show. I was about to say on Twitch, there's no comment section on Twitch. It's just live shit. And also thank you guys, you know, watching us on Twitch. I don't think there was too many people tonight, but you build small and you build it up, man. That's what it's all about. Anyway, subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, It's your boy Tony Polanco, attached on by Emilio Lopez.
Big things start from small things.
Whatever that line was.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Go watch anime.
Brian Manjoma.
Instead, go watch Westworld. It's really good.
Brett Murdoch.
Good real party, people.
And Adam Van.
Roxette Lucha Underground and the Deuce.
All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Later, guys.
Peace.
Deuces.